If I were to say to you this morning that when I was driving home last evening around 9 o'clock, I was looking out toward the west and I saw God, what would you say to that? If I said to you that pretty much every day, there's some time during the day where I sit on the edge of my bed in the bedroom and I see God, what would you say to that? What would your thought be? If I said to you that after Bible class started this morning, I saw God, what would you say to that? You may be thinking, well, he's not telling the truth. He didn't really see God. Or you might be thinking that he has lost his mind. He doesn't really know what's going on upstairs, and he's a little confused, because I certainly didn't see him last night at 9 o'clock, but Chris said he did, so maybe he's got something wrong in his mind. I did see God last night at 9 o'clock. I really did. And I saw him yesterday when I was sitting on the edge of my bed, and I saw him this morning after Bible class started. Have you seen God lately? I saw him today. I saw him on the way to services. Saw him yesterday. Have you seen him lately? When the Russian astronaut Yuri Gagarin, the first man to be in space and orbit the Earth, in 1961, when he came back, he was quoted as saying that he did not see God when he was in space. And a lot of people got a lot of mileage out of that. That really advanced the cause of atheism. And that has been a quote that has gone down in the record books. Here we have an astronaut being as far out as any man could be up to that point, and he didn't see any God out there, so there is no God. Well, while we're quoting astronauts, I prefer to quote John Glenn, who, when he was in space, said, "To look out at this kind of creation out here and not believe in God is to me impossible. It just strengthens my faith. I wish there were words to describe what it's like." He saw the same thing that Yuri Gagarin saw and concluded that there is a God. It's all in our background. It's all in where we're coming from. We all have the same evidence. But really, that is the atheist approach. They do not believe in God because they cannot see God. And one of the passages that Matthew read around the Lord's table was John 1:18. Turn with me there again. We're going to be looking at this passage later in the lesson, but since Matthew has already read that, look at John 1:18, where Jesus himself says, or John recording about Jesus, "No man hath seen God at any time." That's why I don't believe in God. No man has seen God at any time. And if he would just show himself, then I would believe in him. Well, I saw him last night. And I saw him this morning. And I see him each day. Have you seen God lately? When Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 37, speaking to the Jews there, turn with me just a few chapters over, John 5:37, "You have neither heard his voice nor seen his form." Jesus said to the Jews there that they had not seen God. I believe that. And I believe John 1:18, "No man has seen God at any time." These passages are talking about seeing God with the naked eye, or with the physical eye. God is a spirit being, John 4:24. And we cannot see him with the physical eye. And so, as you make note of these passages this morning that talk about man cannot see God, it's talking about that we do not look at him face to face with the physical eye. But that doesn't mean he's not seen. That doesn't mean he's not there. In Colossians 1:15, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. We do not see him with the naked eye. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17. "Indeed, God is visible, but yet he makes himself to be seen." He's able to do that. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God. Yes, God is invisible. We do not see Him with the naked eye. And then look at 1 Timothy 6:16. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in light unapproachable, whom no man hath seen nor can see. Well, Chris, how can you say you saw God last night when Paul said in verse 16, no man can see Him? Well, I didn't say I saw Him face to face or literally or with the physical eye. But I saw God. Look at verse 16, speaking of God, dwelling in light unapproachable. I believe there's two reasons why we cannot see God with the physical eye. Number one, He's a spirit being. Number two, you cannot look directly at Him. The closest thing I can think of is trying to look directly at the sun. Look at that phrase again. He dwells in light unapproachable. I believe many people have said things about God that have brought Him down to the level of man, as if God would be looking at someone like, well, I'm looking at Larry, or I'm looking at Brandon back there. He dwells in light unapproachable. You cannot look at Him like that, just like you cannot look at the sun. And so there are some things about God that because of who He is, His nature, we cannot see Him with the naked eye. But He shows Himself. John says that no man has seen God. There are statements in the Bible that say no man has seen God. And so the atheist says, well, there you have it. That's why I don't believe in God. I can't see Him. Even your own Bible says you can't see Him. That's why I don't believe in Him. And Yuri Gagarin said, I was up there and I didn't see God. And yet he was in a place where the psalmist says, that's the very place where you can see God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. I would love, I would give anything to be where those astronauts are, to look back and see that big blue ball out in space. I would love to have that opportunity. It's only afforded to a few. Because the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. So how do we know that God exists? Well, the atheist says He's just simply a product of our imagination like other mythical characters. We have mythical characters associated with some of our holidays. And when we grow up, we realize that those characters do not exist. And some say that God is just simply like that, because they're just figments of our imagination. You can never see them, so they don't exist, and God is just like that. And my question is, can we see Him or not? The Bible says no man has seen Him at any time. God manifests Himself. God can be seen. No, He cannot be seen with the naked eye. Here is the point. He cannot be seen with the naked eye, but He shows Himself. And we're going to look at five areas this morning. That's why I saw Him last night. And that's why you can see Him. God shows Himself. He manifests Himself. Not in a way that you see Him with the naked eye. For example, turn to Genesis 16. He manifested Himself in the form of an angel to Hagar. And Hagar said, God sees, that I bow down to the God who sees, and I have seen God, and He has seen me. Well, she didn't see Him literally, but saw a manifestation. And turn with me to Genesis 32, where God manifests Himself to Jacob in the form of a man, and He called that place Penuel, El meaning God, because he wrestled with God. And in Genesis 32 and verse 30, and Jacob called the name of the place Penuel, for he said, I have seen God. Well, Jacob, no, you didn't, because the Bible says you can't see God. No, I have seen God. He told the truth. He saw God. He saw a form, a manifestation. God manifests Himself in ways so that He can be seen. God manifested Himself to Moses on different occasions, and He gave him a limited sight or view. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 33. We have a song in our songbook that is taken from this story about being hid in the cleft of the rock. This is coming from Exodus 33, verse 17. Jehovah said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that you have spoken. Moses wanted to see God. For you have found favor in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, show me, I pray thee, thy glory. And he said, I will make all thy goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of Jehovah before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and show mercy on whom I will show mercy. This is quoted by Paul in the book of Romans. And he said, thou cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. There are some ways in which we do not see God, but that doesn't mean he doesn't show himself. That doesn't mean he can't be seen in any way. Well, what way? Verse 21, and Jehovah said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon the rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock. We sing that in our songbook. And I will cover thee with my hand until I have passed by, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Some limited part of God's glory was seen. And that's one of different occasions. God manifests himself to Isaiah in a form of a vision. And God manifests himself to us in the same way, so that we can see him in many places, though not directly. And we're going to speak of five of them this morning. Yeah, I really did see God last night. And I want you to as well. Have you seen God lately? And the reason I believe that this lesson is important is we are getting caught up in looking at the things that man has made, and we're losing sight of what God has made. And our culture is slowly becoming a culture where the focus is on man, and almost man is being deified. Man is almost being exalted, and God is being shoved off to the corner of the universe. Turn with me to Psalm 8. We need to be looking in the places where God shows himself, and we need to be looking at what God has made. And we need to be teaching our children to do the very same thing. Look at Psalm chapter 8 and verse 3. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers. Underscore that in your Bible. When was the last time you looked at what God made? We hold in our hands the little technology, and we're looking at what man has made. And look at the latest thing that Apple made. And look at the latest thing that Microsoft made. And look at this that was made. And look at that that was made. Read verse 3 again. When I look at the work of thy fingers. When was the last time we saw God? And the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? We're looking at what man has made. There's nothing wrong with that. But when was the last time we looked at what God made and told our children to look up at what God has made? We spend a lot of our time looking down. I went to get some gas yesterday at Kroger, and I was almost hit by a young girl in a car. I was on my side of the lane, going behind what used to be the video store there. I'm on my side of the lane. She's coming out of the Kroger, and she's way over. She's got her head down. I can pretty much guess what she was doing. Rounding that corner, and she hit the brakes and squealed, and I pulled over and squealed. She just almost hit me. Looking down. Verse 3. When I consider thy heavens, and we're going to look at another passage in just a moment. We need to be looking and seeing God. When was the last time you saw God? Let's look at these five places this morning. Number one, we see God in nature. That's why last night about 9 o'clock when I was looking at that beautiful sunset, I saw God. And David mentioned this in his prayer. Look at Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. He's all over that. The great designer behind the design. One of the most famous atheists of all time of the last century was the English Anthony Flew. He had numerous debates. Well-known English atheist. About 10 years ago, he said, enough with atheism. I believe in God. He kept looking at the evidence of the design in the universe, and that ultimately convinced him. Night unto night showeth knowledge. What is it showing? Who is it showing? God. There is a God. Turn with me to Isaiah 40. This is why I mentioned earlier the importance of looking up. And I'm serious when I say, let me encourage you to go out and look at the night sky. If it's clear tonight, go out and look at it. Look up. I'm very serious about that. Teach our children to look up. Get their eyes up and see God. We see God in nature. He's everywhere. We're just touching the hem of the garment by mentioning that this morning. Verse 25. After talking about the false idols, the contrast is the great God and the great God. Back up to verse 22. It is He that sitteth above the circle of the earth. This is 700 years before the time of Christ. And Isaiah is mentioning a globe, a ball, a circle of the earth. The Hebrew word there means that which is turned in a circle. It's a contrast between the real God and the false gods. And then look at verse 25 then. To whom then will you liken me, that I should be equal to him, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. That's why I'm serious in saying that we need to spend some time looking up. Now, I wouldn't do that while you're driving. But just go out in the yard. Look at the constellations. Look at the sun, moon, and stars. Look up. Lift up your eyes. We've gotten our eyes so much on looking down and the things that man has made that I'm fearful that we're losing sight of God. Lift up your eyes on high and see who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number, the stars. He calleth them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and for that he is strong in power, not one is lacking. It shows the greatness of God. And we would do well to spend some more time looking up, I believe. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Paul uses the same line of argument here. He's talking about the natural creation, the nature around us. Because that which is known of God is manifest in them, for God manifested it unto them. Let me just stop right there and say that the word manifest means to show. Yes, when you look up and you look about nature, you're seeing God. He wants to manifest Himself to us. We do not see Him with the naked eye. He's invisible in that sense. But He shows forms of Himself in different areas. For the invisible things, there are things about God that are invisible. But the invisible things of Him since the creation of the world are clearly seen. How can you see an invisible God? You can see manifestations of Him everywhere, being perceived through the things that are made, even His everlasting power and divinity. You can see God's power and divinity. That's the word for deity, Godhead, Godhood. You can see the Godhead, the unity, the organization of the Godhead, the power of the Godhead, when you look at the beautiful world around us. The very first slide was what our universe would look like if you could get outside of our universe, which we can't, but if you could get outside of our universe and take a picture, that first slide was our sun, moon, planet, stars, the Milky Way galaxy. Do you know that that's one of many galaxies? Do you know that our galaxy is one of many, many galaxies? That is showing how powerful God is. We're without excuse. We see God. Somebody says, the atheist says, well, I've never seen God. Well, you haven't been looking in the right place, or you're not trying, or you don't care. You're without excuse, friend. And that's the whole point of Romans 1. The Gentile world was without excuse. They could have known, they could have seen the one true God, but they chose not to. Turn with me to Acts 14 and verse 17, when Paul is speaking there to those who worshiped false gods. He said, speaking of the one true God, and yet he left not himself without witness. In other words, he left you a witness. He left you. And a witness is a showing, someone who has seen something. He's given you something that you can see. What is it? In that he gave you from heaven rains and fruitful seasons. Every time I go outside when it's raining, I see God. That's his witness. That's him showing me. And he's yelling it. You look at Psalm 19, 1 through 4 again. Look at that. The voice, the scripture says, the voice has gone out everywhere. The voice has gone everywhere that it can be heard. It's not in one little local part of the universe or just one little part of the sky, but all over nature. It is screaming, God who created these things. So when we see God, we see Him in the natural creation, and we see His goodness and His design and His power, and we're without excuse. We see God in nature. Number two, we see God in His Word. I said, when I sit on the edge of my bed, sometimes I see God. You know why? Because I keep a New Testament right there by my bed. Psalm 119, 18. You're seeing God every time you look down at your Bible. Why? Because when you see God's Word, you see God. You can't separate those two. They're one and the same. God and His Word are the same. Open thou my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. We see God on the pages of His Word from Genesis to Revelation. When we're reading God's Word, 1 Corinthians 2, we're reading what the Spirit of God has revealed to Paul, and then Paul put that in pen form. Paul said that we might know the things that were freely given to us of God. What you're holding in your hand is the very Word of God. Not the word of men. He says, which things, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Spirit teacheth. The Spirit of God gave us these words. And so what you're holding in your hand is the very Word of God. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:13, when Paul came and preached at Thessalonica. He said, you received from us the word of the message, even the Word of God. You accepted it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. Every time I open my Bible, I see God. Every time you open your Bible, you see God. Somebody says, well, I don't believe in God because I don't see Him anywhere. Well, you're not opening up your Bible. You're not looking out at nature. Have you seen God lately? He's there. And He's there in so many areas of our life. Every Scripture inspired of God is profitable for teaching, for reproof, and so forth. The word inspired there literally means God breathed. It's as if God breathed out, and those words came out, and the men that received them didn't change them, penned them. You're holding in your hand the very God-breathed Word. Every page you look at is the Word of God. Every Scripture, not some, every is God-breathed. And so you're seeing God on every page of your Bible. You might begin to modify then your thoughts about when I said last night I saw God. You're thinking, well, you know, if that's the case, then yeah, I've seen God too. And that's what we're talking about. Not with the physical eye, but in these manifestations that He gives us. Ample evidence. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter talks about how that prophecy of Scripture, whether it's Old or New Testament, doesn't come of private interpretation. That doesn't mean you're not allowed to privately read your Bible and study it and interpret it. What he's talking about there is Scripture doesn't come from private interpretation. Scripture doesn't come from man, in other words. It doesn't come from the will of man. Prophecy, no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spake from God. It's God's Word being moved by the Holy Spirit of God. What we have in our hands is the very Word of God. And so we see God when we see God's character, God's law, God's will expressed in His Word. What would God say about this? Well, open up your Bible. How does God feel about that? Well, open your Bible. Well, what would God want me to do in this part of my life? Well, open up your Bible. And He shows His character. He has a loving and a good side. He has a severe side. He shows what His character is like. Somebody says, well, I just wish I knew what God was like. I can't see Him with the naked eye, so I don't know what He's like. You know what He's like. You know what His law is. You know what His will is. It's expressed in His Word. God shows us Himself in nature. God shows us Himself in His Word. And God shows us Himself in Jesus Christ. In the Scripture that Matthew read earlier, Jesus said, no man hath seen God at any time. He's talking about seeing Him with the naked eye. You cannot do that. He's a spirit being. So no man has seen God in that sense. But look at the rest of the verse. The only begotten Son, Jesus, who is begotten, who is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. The word declare there comes from a Greek word that means from which we get our English word exegete, eggs, to come out of, like the word exit. To exegete means to declare and take truths and bring them out. The truths of God are brought out in Jesus Christ. Back up to verse 14. John 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among men. But back up to verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh. So God became flesh. Verse 18, Jesus is showing God. He is God in the flesh. Now turn with me to John 14. We're kind of like Philip. We just show us the Father. And Jesus, you can tell there's a little exasperation and disappointment in His voice. Have I been so long time with you, and dost thou not know me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How do you say, show us the Father? Do you see the disappointment in His voice? The point is, I'm showing you the Father. Philip, quit asking, show us the Father. I've been doing that. How long have I been with you? That would be like somebody saying, well, I can't see God. And then my response was, well, have you ever looked up into the sky? How long have you been looking up in the sky? There's evidence everywhere. It's screaming everywhere. It's just people choosing not to see it. And Philip is asking, similar to how the atheist asked it today, I want to see God with the naked eye. And Jesus is saying, that's not God's plan. That's not how God is choosing to do it. But He is choosing to show you through me. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I see Shannon's father in him all the time. I see Larry's father in him all the time. I see Matthew's father in him, what little I was around him before he passed from this life. Do you ever see, do you ever say, I see your father? But the Father's not literally right there standing in the room. We do that all the time. Jesus, being God in the flesh, was showing, the Son is showing what the Father is like. We all have our Father in us, characteristics and personality traits and different things like that. And so the Father doesn't have to be literally standing right there to see Him. We see that in the Son. We use that expression. We understand that expression. But many will not apply that to God. I have to see God with the naked eye. No, He's on the pages of Scripture. He's shouting all over this universe. He's in the life of Jesus Christ that is recorded in Scripture. Those of you with pets, have you ever said anything like this? Well, I see that my dog Bowser has been here. Look, little deposit there on the ground. I see that Bowser's been here. You ever said that? Or there's some hair on the couch. Well, I see that Fluffy's been in here. You ever said that? Something like that? They're not there at the moment. And you're not looking at them with the physical eye at the moment. But what have they left? They've left their evidence. They've left something that shows that they've been there. That's what nature is. And that's what the Word of God is. And that's what Jesus Christ is. Have you seen God lately? Turn with me to Colossians 1:15. God knows that He's invisible. He knows who He is. And so He leaves ways in which we can see Him. And that's what we're exploring this morning. He does not want us to accept Him without showing Himself. He doesn't want us to accept Him blindly. He doesn't want us to accept Him without seeing Him in any way, shape, or form. And so He shows Himself. In Colossians 1 and 15, Paul said, speaking of Jesus, who is the image. The Greek word here means the express image. And it was used in New Testament times of a stamp that was pushed into clay or that was pushed into wax. And when you pull the stamp up, the image is the same as the bottom of the stamp. The word image there means the express image. Jesus is not just something close to God. He is the express image of God. When you pull the stamp up, it's the exact mirror. There is an invisible God, but Jesus in the flesh shows us who God is, the express exact image. Turn with me to Hebrews 1 and verse 3. The Hebrew writer spells it out. The very image of His substance. Speaking of Jesus, who being the effulgence of His glory, showing the great glory of God, and the very image of His substance. Somebody says, well, I've never seen God. Philip said, show us the Father. Jesus said, I've been showing you the Father because I am the very image of the Father in the flesh. Just like God in the Old Testament manifested Himself in the form of a man so that Jacob could say, I have wrestled with God, I have seen God and wrestled with Him, God comes to earth in the form of Jesus Christ. He is both God and man. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. The very image of God put on man. And so God showed Himself in Jesus Christ. We see God when we see Jesus' life and teaching. How would God handle this situation? Well, how did Jesus handle it? What would God say on this occasion? Well, what did Jesus say on that occasion? We know exactly what God would say or think or do when we look at the life of Jesus and we look at His teaching. We see God in Jesus. We see God in His blessings. Every time there's an answered prayer, I see God. Every time I'm given food, shelter, and clothing, I see God. Do you know that you don't do anything without God? In Him we live and move and have our very being. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. We call this providence. I've been studying some of this recently, and I'm impressed when I study providence, which is the Bible topic of God preserving and taking care of what He created. He didn't just create it and then go off to the edge of the universe somewhere and fall asleep. He's intimately and intricately involved in every aspect of His creation in preserving it and keeping it going. That when I study that, then I start looking throughout the day, well, He's taking care of me this way and He's taking care of me that way. And we sit down at the table there at home and we thank God for our food. And I see God. He's provided that. He's provided those things. Every good and perfect blessing. And so look at Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Be free of the love of money, content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will in no wise fail thee. Neither will I in any wise forsake thee, so that with good courage we say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What shall man do unto me? He'll take care of me. We used to talk about providence. When that girl came around the corner and slammed on her brakes, and I swerved over and slammed on my brakes, we were just right there. She put her head up and said, oh my, and then I'm not going to finish it. And then she drove off. In other words, I almost hit this guy. When she said that, you know what I thought? Yeah, there is a God. And He just protected me. She was thinking about it in a different way. I was thinking about it from the standpoint of blessing and providence and watching care. We see God in His providential blessings of food. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. We don't need to forget these things, brethren. These things are not coming to us just like the atheist says, out of pure naturalistic means. God is providing for us. He provides food, shelter, and clothing. And so we're not to be anxious. He takes care of the birds. He takes care of the flowers of the field. He will take care of us. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He's talking about verse 25. Be not anxious what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or what you shall wear, for your body is not life more than food and raiment. And God takes care of the birds, and He's going to take care of you on these things. When Jesus sent the 12 out, look at Matthew 10:30. He said, even the hairs of your head are numbered. I see God every day in the providential care and blessing that He gives us. He protects us. He provides food, shelter, and clothing. And we need to teach our children that when they put their clothes on and eat their food and have their shelter, they are seeing God providing for them. Otherwise, we're going to raise a generation that knows not God when He's screaming everywhere, "Here I am, look at me." We're going to raise a generation that doesn't know a thing about Him because we're not looking up into the heavens. We're not reading our Bibles. We're not looking at Jesus Christ. We're not considering the providential blessings. We just go about our day in our technically advanced man-made world. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 10. Have you ever, you were about to say, do, or think something that was sinful, and right before you said, thought, or did something that was sinful, there was just a moment there where you could get out of that and not do that? Have you ever had that happen to you in your life? That's happened to me. Now, you either took the way of escape or you didn't. That's another point. But you know good and well that that way of escape was provided. Who did that? Scripture says God provides that. That's just not an accident. God, will, with every temptation, He will provide the way to get out of that. I've seen God every time I've seen that. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. God wants to so badly show Himself to the world. But, well, somebody says, well, why aren't they seeing Him, Chris? 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this world, the devil, has blinded the hearts. That's why the atheist says, I don't see God. That's why Yuri Gagarin, raised as a Soviet Russian, I don't see God. It's the devil has blinded the hearts of men so that the light of the gospel will not shine on them. But in Philippians chapter 4, let your forbearance be known. In nothing be anxious or worried, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall guard your hearts and your thoughts. God providentially gives us peace, and He cares for us, and He relieves those burdens that go through life when we pray to Him. He gives open doors, Colossians 4, 2, and 3, to preach the gospel, home Bible studies, personal work, gospel meetings, taking the gospel to foreign lands. He opens up doors. That's God. You're seeing God right there. You're not seeing just chance or fate. That's what the Greeks believed in, that when you get up each day, things happen just because of chance or fate, just random chance or fate. And that's the evolutionary principle that much of our nation is built on today. It's just chance and fate and evolutionary accident. We're getting away from God being the one who controls and provides things in life. When we pray for sickness and someone gets better, James 5, you see God. Answered prayer. And I put etc. because we're just touching the hem of the garment, listing all the things of the providence of God. That young girl didn't realize what she was saying. Yes, there is a God. And He blesses us so greatly. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours. Why did I say that when Bible class started this morning, I saw God? Why did I say that? Because when I see godly children of God, I see God. We, as children, become partakers of the divine nature. We are made in the image of God. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. To start off with, we're made in the image of God. There is something in us that is His image. When we look at our own spirit being, our own consciousness, we're seeing God. We're made in the image of God. And when we become Christians, we partake of that divine nature. We take on things that He is. God is love. John says that God is love, 1 John 4, and we are to love like God is. 1 John 1, God is light, and we're to walk in the light as children of light. And so when I see faithful Christians, I see God because I see their Father in them. They're not corrupted by the world. Jesus said that when we're unified, when brethren are unified, like He and His Father are unified, that the world will know that I have sent them. We're children of light. We're to walk as children of light. And when we do that, we see God. When we love like God loves. Turn with me to 1 John 4 and verse 7. And the reason I want to mention this is that, to be realistic, are there some Christians that are not acting like God? Absolutely. But don't get sidetracked on that. And I've had to be mindful of that. Sometimes, well, that brother's not living right, and that sister's not living right, and they've left the church, and we get sidetracked on, what about the brethren who are godlike? They are godly. Let's not forget them. And when they come into the building, that's God. That's the divine nature, a partaker of the divine nature walking in. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is begotten of God. And when someone comes through that door that's begotten of God, I see God. Just like when a physical person comes in, I physically see the traits of their parents. We're begotten of God. I see God in every faithful Christian. Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God. They're just living like their Father. That raises another question. Is there a devil? Is there a devil? Well, have you ever seen him? Same thing, right? You ever seen him? You ever seen the devil? I see the devil every day. And Shannon mentioned this, what was it, Wednesday night in class, about John 8, that you're of your father, the devil. Yeah, I see the devil every day. Well, you mean you actually saw him with your eyes? No, he's a spirit being too. He's an angel. He disguises himself as an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 13. I didn't see him with the physical eye, just like I don't see God with the physical eye. Just look out into the community, see the devil everywhere. They're of their father, the devil. That's why I know there's a devil. Because they're bearing the characteristic of the person that begat them. And we are begotten of God. We see Him in His children. And so the lesson is yours. Have you seen God lately? I have. I want you to. I know you have. And we need to teach our children to see God. Pick a night sky this summer that's just beautiful. And go out with your kids and look up and see those constellations. See His nature. Open up the Word of God. Look at Jesus Christ. Consider all the providential blessings from morning until the time you go to bed at night and even through the night. One of the things that I pray for when we have breakfast in the morning, and I say it because I got it from my dad, we get things from our parents, good or bad. But he used to say, Lord, thank you for last night's rest. And you're watching care over us. He keeps going through the night when you're asleep. He doesn't quit work. I used to hear that a lot growing up, and so I say that now. So the providential blessings 24/7. And then in His children, we see God. And I hope that I'm one of His children where you see God. And if I'm not, then I hope that I would change. But I'm encouraged when I'm surrounded by His children and I see God in them. Let's not get sidetracked on those that aren't living right. Have you seen God lately? When Moses was leaving Egypt, he saw Him who was invisible. Not with the naked eye, but he saw the manifestation of God. And so by faith, we do the same thing. With the eye of faith, we see God in all of these ways clearly. We see God in all of these five ways, in nature, in His Word, in Jesus Christ, in His blessings, in His children. We see God with the eye of faith because He manifests Himself everywhere. And one day, when He comes again, 1 John 3:2, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him even as He is. There's going to come a day when we stand with God in judgment, and having been found faithful, we can enter into heaven, Revelation 22:3-4, and we can be around the throne, and they shall see His face. There's going to come a day when we can stand face to face with God. Not like the manifestations of today, but face to face and serve Him forever. But we've got to be faithful. We've got to obey Him. And so I raise the question, will you see God? You will if you're one of His faithful children. When Jesus comes again, you may need to respond to the gospel. You may need to come back as an erring child of God. But God is giving us ample evidence of who He is and what He is all over the universe and all over life. He wants us to see Him in these areas so that we will come to love Him and appreciate Him and obey His Son, Jesus Christ, and being found faithful when He comes again, we can stand and see His face around that throne. And if we can encourage you to make your life right in some way, if we can encourage you to see more of God in your daily life, I would hope and pray that's the point of the lesson. Have you seen God lately? He's everywhere. And He wants us to come and obey Him. And if we can assist you in that, why won't you come as we stand and sing? Would